the tzitz that is one of the bidei kuna described in Parashat Tzaveh. As we've said in the past, the tzitz, there are bidei kuna that are worn by all the kohanim, kohen hayadot, and kohen gadol, and then there are additional bidei kuna. Kohen gadol wears 8 begadim as opposed to kohen hayadot, and the kohen gadol has the opportunity to wear ones that are specific also for him. One of the bidei kuna that is specific for the kohen gadol is the tzitz. The tzitz, what I want to try to do is really two things tonight, like we do generally in these, usually in these shiurim. The first is to try to describe a little bit about the form and structure of the tzitz, what exactly it looked like. We'll see there is a good deal of ambiguity in a variety of shiurim we've shown him as to how the tzitz exactly looked and how we would exactly get it connected to the kohen's head. We will then try and categorize a little bit to understand a little bit better the nature of the tzitz, what exactly the tzitz does, and maybe we'll see a little bit about the unique status of the tzitz. The tzitz, the Torah tells us as follows: the also tzitz, nasisa tzitz zahav tahor, will be tachto alav pituchei chosam kodesh lashem. The Torah tells us that there is a one of the begadim is called a tzitz. Tzitz is made out of gold. The tzitz would be worn right sort of above the forehead. Rashi talks about how you could wear tefillin and tzitz at the same time, but generally speaking, it's around at your forehead, a little bit above level, and it's made out of gold. The Torah tells us here that it's chosam pituchei chosam kodesh lashem. For the mainstream view, I believe in Rishonim, is that what that means. And the Ramban points out is that kodesh lashem, it would say on the tzitz kodesh lashem. That's what would be written on the tzitz. Again, this gold plated, it was a gold plated beged. Was it the right word? That would be right above the coin. It would say kodesh lashem on it. There is a machlokes, if you look, even some just discussion in Chazal, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, on Daf Heyam and Aleph, as to how Kodesh Lashem exactly was written on. The Gemara quotes the first day here. The Gemara there says that it was written on two separate lines. Amar Belazar, Rabbi Yossi, and Nira Isi, Beromi, Vekasa, Vekodesh Lashem, Beshita Achas. I saw it all written in one line. Whatever the discussion is, there are about 4 views in Rishonim as to how Kodesh Lashem exactly is written. I don't know if your sheets are so clear. In source number 6, I have it on mine in color where it's a bit clearer. Let me try to start and outline the sheetos well. If you look in the Rambam writes as follows, Mikdash. We're now quoted about 3 or 4 sheetos as to how Kodesh Lashem was written on the tzitz. The Rambam writes, V'kastav alav shnei sheet in Kodesh Lashem, Kodesh milmata, Lahashem milmala. Which means that according to the Rambam, the way it worked, Kodesh Lashem, so the way we normally read, it really says Lahashem Kodesh. It would say Lashem on top and Kodesh underneath. So it's really Kodesh Lashem, but the Kodesh on the bottom and Lashem is on top. Presumably, the reason why we would want to do that is because we want to have Hashem going there on top. Rabbeinu Bechai quotes a sheet of the Ravid there in source number 4, where according to the Ravid, Upeirish HaRavid there in the middle paragraph, Kodesh Lamid Milmata Besof Shita Rishona Ulekach Karo Limata Lefishu Besof Hashem Limala Berosh Shita Shnia. The way it would look, it's the top left picture there. There would be 2 lines. The top written off to the left side of the top line said Kodesh La, and the bottom right side said Hashem. So the way it would look is, again, are you able to see it in your sheets or no? Kodesh La here in the top left part, and Hashem in the bottom part. Hashem in the bottom right. That's how it would look. It was getting written out. So the Kodesh La was not on top of the Hashem. It was off to the left side, but on a higher level. And Lashem is on the bottom right. A third Shita is the Shita of Rashi. Rashi understands, whereas, again, similar to the Rambam, that the Hashem is right on top of the Kodesh. The only real question they have is, where is the Lamed? Whereas for the Rambam, it's Kodesh on the bottom and Lashem on top. For Rashi, it's Kodesh La on the bottom and Hashem on top. That's really 3 of the main Shitos that we have in the Rishonim. If you look in the source here, the picture of a 4th one. If you look in some of the journal called Ma'alin B'Kodesh, which is a Dati Lumi journal on Kachim and Taros. So there's a Rav Hillel ben Shlomo, who I think wrote, he tries to organize at least 6 different Shitos to how exactly it looks. But that's 3. It's going to say Kodesh Lashem on it. For the Rambam and Rashi, it says, Hashem on top of Kodesh. The Machlokas is the Lamed go on top with Lashem, or in the bottom of Kodesh, La. And according to Rabbeinu Bechai's, the way he quotes the Ravid, it's on one piece across. The Kodesh, La, is top left. The Hashem is the bottom right. Next piece in terms of how it's structured. So I have this gold plate. How exactly do you get it to stay attached to your head? What exactly are you going to do to get the Kodesh there and for it to stay on? So if you look also in verse number 7, the picture tends to make it a little bit easier. Look at verse number 7, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, it's somewhat like a visor, is the way to really think about it. The thing on top, that's the gold plate, Kodesh Lashem. And then there are sort of two strings that tie around the side of your head. Two strings that tie around the side of your head. The only difference, I don't think you can see it on your sheet, between Rambam and the Ramban, according to the Rambam, there'd be one on each side. It would be one sort of, it's emirat tcheles, the Torah tells us. One piece of tcheles from here, one piece of tcheles here, and you would tie it in the back of your head. So you'd have the Kodesh Hashem in front. It would be tied with blue, two blue strings around. If you look in the Ramban in mind, it wasn't just one string that came out, or one string that came out, it was actually folded over. It was folded over. So it was a little bit tighter. It was the same visor, it was the same sort of Kodesh Hashem in front of the gold plate. It was still going to be wrapped around your head on this way. But whereas for the Ram, it was like one sort of piece of tcheles there, for the Ramban, it was going to be a piece that was folded over. So in each thing, you would almost be able to feel like you'd really have sort of two things of tcheles on each side. It would be folded over. What's an example just to like clarify that? Yeah, I guess sort of like the backpack tighteners for those that have them. I don't use it that frequently, but for those that do, sometimes it has like two levels. It's like it comes back over. It makes it a bit more secure, presumably. And that is how that's how the Ramban understands it. It goes through the gold, and it sort of is like tucked in and has.
But it's one piece side for the Ramban.
The Ramban looks like this. For those that want to look at the sheet. No, it looks like it's all
one.
The Rashi, I don't think so. Also for the. Again, you can look at pictures for a more precise thing. I'm sorry that's not going to be so clear like this. Rashi thinks that it's actually, not only is it, it's like the Ramban on the bottom, for Rashi is a third string that goes over your head. So it's more like the outline or structure of a helmet. It's the golden top, two that go around your head, and one that goes up and over your head. That's going to attach it to your head. That's a three-way machlokas as to how exactly it looks. So, Arkan, Techazer, what exactly we saw, the main part of the tzitz is the gold piece that's Kodesh Hashem on top of it. How it's Kodesh Hashem? That is a machlokas harishonim. How are you going to attach it to your head? The answer is with tcheles. How exactly the tcheles attach it to your head seems to also be a three-way machlokas harishonim. Definitely there are going to be strings attached to the side, whether those are sort of like folded over, or whether it's just one string, you know, go all the way around. Rambam, Ramban. For Rosh, there's another string that comes on top. You can look at the pictures on my sheet later if those pictures are clearer. What about, now let's shift a little bit to the status of the tzitz. I want to try to focus on a couple main discussions. One, source number 8. There seems to be a fundamental discussion. We're not going to clarify so much tonight as to why that matters, but we will explore it, hopefully, Bulin Adder in a future week. The Torah, if you remember from our discussion of Michnasayim, lists in Perek Tov Ches Pasuk Dalet, Ve'eila ha-begadim asher yasu, the Torah lists, here are all of the begadim you're going to make. And the Torah only lists 6 of the begadim, even though we know that there are really 8 begadim for the Kohen Gadol. And the Mefarshim there are all bothered with the question, why is it that the Torah, when it lists all of the begadim, it lists 6 of them, but it leaves off 2. One of the ones that it leaves off is the Michnasayim, and we spoke about, when we spoke about Michnasayim a couple weeks ago, a variety of explanations as to why exactly Michnasayim would be left off. But the other question, the other one which is left off is the tzitz. Why is the tzitz missing? What about the tzitz makes it that we're going to suddenly leave it off of that list? So you really find a couple of two important mehalchim, one from Eidah B'chai and one from the Or HaChaim. Each, I think, is significant, and we'll see that one in particular is subject to machlokas. The Or HaChaim writes, if you remember, the Or HaChaim says the reason why tzitz and michnasayim are left off is because each one is unique. Michnasayim says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is on a lower madrega. It's on a lower madrega. V'ulai beis dvarim eilu einam beg begeder echad mashisha. Mechasayim to Yosef madrega p'chusa. Migimel b'dei kohen. Mechasayim is the lowest level, therefore it's left off of the list. But says Yerachayim, hatzit tzad ma'alah so Yosef migimel b'dei kohen gadol. It's possible, says the Orachaim, it sits on a higher madrega than all the other bidikhuna, and therefore it can't be listed on that same list with the other six. So the first is ta'ara. Why is it left off one of the lists in Chumash, in Parashat Tzava, when we list the bidikhuna? It says Orachaim, because it is on an elevated madrega over everything else. If that's true, already one of the things that I would want to start thinking about a little bit is why is that so, and what is unique about the tzitz. Certainly, etzim the fact it's left off gets us thinking, and for the orachaim, it's thinking in the direction of, unlike mitzvahsayim, where we're sort of playing down its significance. It's there just as a geder, picking from erva, it's a basic thing all people wear pants, as some of the mefarshim say, it's nothing that unique about it. Tzitz clearly is something which is exceptionally unique. The Rabbeinu Bechai has another shot. This is one that gets quoted a little bit in the world of lumdas because of a chiddush of what he says. Rabbeinu Bechai writes there in source number 10 that even though there are vayubid kuna kohen gadol shmona hiskir akas of shisha mehem below hiskir tzitz mitzatcha hu kli zahav enu bichlal habegadim. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, a tzitz is not actually considered to be a beged. Why do we say eight big day kuna? Because al harov, they're all begadim. As a whole, most of them are really begadim. But the tzitz, not only like the Orachayim says, is the tzitz considered to be unique or elevated, according to Ben Bechai, it's actually not even really a beged. It's something that the Kohen wears, but would not qualify in the general sense for beged. And that may give us some insight if we're going to be looking into things, less so tonight, but in general, as you go through, in Hilchos Kdei Mikdash, you may discover that there are certain indications that the tzitz is somewhat unique, and if tzitz is somewhat unique, then maybe because it's certain dinim that are tully, and something being a beged, it's not going to apply to the beged to the tzitz. However, Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos, in Nazir, appears to argue about that last point. And for Rabbeinu Tam points out that tzitz, and it's an important discussion there, and Daf Nundal in Nazir, it's an important discussion about Tumas Kohen and Tumas Nazir. And the din of Cherev Re'eu Kechalov, for those that were here at the beginning of Baba Kama, those that were here 4 years ago, for the 3 years ago, for the Taro Shirim, what's going on when we speak about the Rabbeinu Tam trying to prove what qualifies as a beged, as Tumas Begadim, there's certain specific halachas there, but Tam brings a raya from Tzitz, if you look there, and so therefore, that Tachshite, Klima Tachos, that metal Tachshitim, have a halachic status of beged, he proves from the Tzitz. So Rabbeinu Tam is pretty clear that it actually is a beged. So if I'm just looking at Chumash, and like we said in the past, with a lot of the big kahuna, one of the questions that we're trying to figure out, is this a unique beged? Is there something special about this beged? So one of the things that comes up specifically here is the question, is the tzitz even a beged? And is the tzitz a regular beged, or is it tzitz on some level, but the Orachaim highlights, is it somewhat unique and somewhat elevated? So what exactly is potentially unique about the tzitz? Let's shift a little bit. We spoke the first part about etzim, the fact that there's a structure, how it's constructed. We then spoke about just the status of the tzitz. It's left off the list. Does that tell us, is it really a beged? Is it not a beged? Is it elevated? Getting us thinking a little bit. But now we shift to what is possibly the most important thing that tzitz does. Let's look at the psukim again in source number 1, and I think we'll see something important. The Torah tells us like this. So I make my tzitz. V'yasisa tzitz zahav taro b'tachalav p'suchei chosem kodesh l'Hashem. So it's made out of zahav. It's going to have written on it kodesh l'Hashem. I'll go to the discussion how it's written on it. V'samto so al p'sil tzei. Let's go to have tzei a string there to help connect it. V'yalam it's nefes el mu'al p'neiab it's nefes. Yeah, that's what we'll talk about when we speak more about it's nefes, how that gets on your head in light of other things in your head. Then the Torah tells us follows. V'yal metzach aharon. V'nasa Aharon is avon hakadosh asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael. It's going to be on Aharon's forehead. It's going to be on his head there, and it's going v'nasa Aharon as avon hakadosh asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael. It's somehow going to do something to uplift, to do something to the sins relevant to kachim. V'yal metzchot tamid, again, it's going to always be on his head. L'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem. What exactly is it sits? Is it sits going to do? So the simple pshat Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Rashbam writes in source number 12, that tzitz is there to help you. She said, Yeah, tzitz im hakarbon laskiran lifnei Hashem, sheyele raton vilzikaron lifnei Yisrael. The simple pshat, says the Rashbam, according to, again, Pshuto Shel Mikra, is that what we're really doing is we are wearing the tzitz as an extra special schus to help us with our kapara as we perform avodas. We offer a lot of karbanos, and the tzitz is there that it adds a special extra kind of a schus. But according to Chazal, to Gemara Masech Menachos and Chafheim and Aleph, this is the pshat the Rashbam says is what Chazal say, this is what Rashi quotes also, the tzitz does something incredible. What the tzitz does is the existence of the tzitz allows you to offer certain parts of the carbon. Discussion Chazal exactly which parts, but if certain parts, like the dam, for example, the blood becomes tamei, all else being equal, you should not be allowed to then use that dam in your avodah of the carbon. Or Rashi writes, chelev, certain kinds of fats that if they become tamei, you're not really allowed to offer because of the tzitz is meratzeh. The tzitz allows us to offer certain things that should have been tameh. There's a lot of discussion in terms of some of the details of what it does and what it doesn't, but it has this incredible ability to take certain things that are tameh and somehow do something to it where now you are allowed to offer it. There is a machlokas in the Gemara in the first parak of Yuma, and in Yuma and Daf Zayin, the Gemara Masech Pesach and Daf Ayin Zayin, as to when this applies, when exactly does the tzitz have this special power that it can take that which is tameh and normally prohibited, normally not allowed to offer as a karban, and suddenly by way of the tzitz you're able to offer it. The Gemara quotes in Machlokas. Reb Shimon says the tzitz does this whether the kohen is wearing it or the kohen is not wearing it. The tzitz still has the ability to offer it a certain degree of tahara, or a certain heter avoda. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, however, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that only when it is on your forehead are you actually permitted to wear it. Only when it sits on your forehead, does it have this capacity to allow you to, as a result, even though the dam and the chelev became tameh, to offer it on the mizbeah. Only then are you allowed to do it. Machlokas hatanai. There is a machlokas within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says I have to wear it in order for the tzitz to work. Rashi, in a couple of places, and the Yad Ramah in Maseches Sanhedrin and Daf Yabez have a bit of a well-known machlokas. When exactly does it have to be on? Rashi writes that tzitz has to be worn by the Kohen Gadol at the time that the dam becomes tameh. At the time the chelev becomes tameh. The Yad Ramah writes that when does it have to be on? Not at the time it becomes tameh, but rather at the time that you are going to perform the avoda with that dam. Rashi writes, Al Kohen Gadol kishira tuma al karban. The Yad Ramah writes on Rashi, V'enu nira be'enenu. Dibishas tuma mayritzo ika. El mistaber dibishas hakuravakai. You have to have it at the time that you are going to be makriv it. Not when it became tameh. Tzitz has to be worn when you're going to be makriv it. 1, 2, and 3. Pashtus, what this machlokas is about, some of the achronim suggest, is a fundamental machlokas about what the tzitz does. How does the tzitz allow me to offer something which is tameh? And there's some achronim, I believe, who suggest as follows. According to Rashi, the tzitz weakens the tumah. There is tumah in the chelev, and there is tumah in the dam, and the tzitz removes, or at least weakens, that tumah. That's why for Rashi it has to be worn at the time that it becomes tameh. According to the Yad Ramah, however, it doesn't weaken the tumah. The tzitz is what allows me to perform a weaker kind of an avoda. It's what allows me to offer tameh dam. It's what allows me to offer tameh chelev. It's not making the dam any less tame. It's taking an avoda, which is normally not okay, and making that avoda okay. A very fundamental machlokas as to what the tzitz does. The Sefer Knesset HaRishonim, with Mordechai Ilan, it's a very important set of svarim, and in Yanni Kachim, and Zvachim, and Menachos. What he did was as follows. When you learn Zvachim, or you learn Menachos, there are not a lot of Rishonim on Zvachim. As an example, there's Rashi, there's Tosfos, you have a Rambam you rely on a lot, you have some Rishonim, but not that many Rishonim. And Knesset HaRishonim, Mordechai Ilan, put out a set, like a Geshita Mekubetes almost, of collecting Rishonim from all other areas, from Tshuvas, from Pei Shema HaTorah, from other Masechtas, and he puts them al Seder HaDaf in Kachin, in Zvachim and Menachos. So if I'm learning Menachos, Daf Kaf Hey, how am I going to know what's there? So that's where he quotes, as an example, the Yad Raman Sanhedrin, he quotes there. So you have, he quotes a lot of the relevant Rishonim. And in the footnotes there, he wrote Sfarim on Kachin called Torah HaKodesh, but he has footnotes there. He lived in the time of Cook, a little bit after, you know, he was connected to that world, I believe. He has footnotes there where he gives you some nice Torah. And he suggests a nafka mina of this discussion is really based on another discussion that Rishonim have. Tovus and Zvachim and Datadi Beis writes that tzitz allows you to perform avoda with that dam, even lichachila. It's not just a b'di'evet heter, it's really a heter, even lichachila. The Karen Ora there in Zvachim, no, the Yehuda and some others, you can look there in the sheet, they think that it only works b'di'evet. If I happen to have done it, it's not perceived as being a pasul zrika. It counts as a zrika, but it's only true b'di'evet. He suggests that maybe that machlokas is taloi in the previous machlokas. Say it as follows. If I learn like Rashi that I'm wearing it at the time of the tumah, so the pshat is that we have removed the tumah from the dam. If the pshat, it's not mufraf, but it makes a lot of sense. If the pshat is that you've removed the tumah from the dam, so l'chora I should be able to perform it even l'chachila. Even l'chachila I should be able, he thinks it's Rashi l'shitaso, I should be able to perform it even l'chachila. But if I hold like the Yad Ramah, that really this is still tumah dam, that tzitz can't remove the tumah. It's just it allows me to perform a weaker avoda. So maybe it's only going to allow you to perform a weaker avoda b'di'evet. But the lichachila offer tamei dam on the mizbeach, that may be too far. That may be unacceptable. Again, it's not totally mukhrach. It's not mukhrach. Because Rashi's l'shitaso, it definitely makes sense that for Rashi, the pshat is that it removes the tumah entirely. That's why I can do it. But it definitely, again, just gives us a way of connecting two important machloksim. There is just a... Aside from noting it's not entirely mukhach, what we're suggesting, there is a... I'm going to start it. Let me see how long we've been. There is a... The Brisker Rav suggested a different pshat for Rashi. It's here in the Shuri Mishmar HaLevi. It's quoted in a bunch of different places. The Brisker Rav said the machlokes Rashi Yad Ramah is not as extreme as it initially sounds. It's not really a machlokes, do I wear it in Tumah like Rashi, or do I wear it in Pshat Avod like the Yad Ramah? It's not really a machlokes that's going to be as fundamental or as extreme as you made it seem. Says the Brisker Rav, Pashut, that Rashi thinks it has to also be on your head while you're being mocked with it. The Chiddush of Rashi, Rashi Bala Hosef, Dimilvat Shasa Hakrava Bina Nami Bishasa Tumma, Fosagi Bishasa Krava Lachor. That according to Rashi, the Pshat is, and there are reasons why you would say this, but according to Rashi, the Pshat is, the way he's learning it at least, Pashut, you need it for the Hakrava. Pashut, if you want to say it in the way we were saying it, it doesn't just remove Tumma. You need it for the Hakrava also. The Chiddush of Rashi is that it's not enough to have it on your head Bishasa Krava. But according to Yehuda, requires to have it on your head. You have to have it on your head also bishas hatoma. You have to have it on your head even for more time than that. Let's chazer what exactly we said. I'm sorry, the last couple of marmakomos we are not going to be able to speak about. But let me just try and chazer what we said. The tzitz, as far as the construction of it, it's gold around your forehead, like a gold plate around your forehead. It says Kodesh Lashem on it. How it's Kodesh Hashem is a machlokas HaRishonim. There is tcheles. The Torah tells us to connect to your head. How it connects to your head is also a three-way machlokas harishon. We then spoke about the status of the tzitz. Is it elevated? Is it a regular baget or not a regular baget? We then pointed out that one of the unique elements of the tzitz is that it does something the other bittei kuna can't do, and that is that it is miratze. The tzitz has the ability to take something, a dam, which is tame, or chela, which is tame, and suddenly now as a result, I'm able to offer it. I'm able to offer those karbanos. We spoke about whether what it does it remove the shame tumma or allow it hetter avoda? Is it bidiyavit? Is it hachila? Kasa rishon? I'm thinking that those two things are taloi, zeh bazeh. I'll just note, I have to point out just one last thing. The fact that it sits is unique and it can do that, you have to just ask the question, almost, is that a symptom of something larger? Is the tzitz, is the tzitz unique because it is miratze? That's what gives the tzitz a certain elevated status, and it impacts the avoda, the matara things? Or is the tzitz really, there's something much more powerful and unique about the tzitz, and one of the things it does as a result is it happens to be miratze? So again, it's a bit of a question, just keep that in mind in case you come across anything that wasn't so clear. I apologize, but Akan for tonight as far as the tzitz. Again, I apologize for that. This Thursday night we will not have. I think